think we see clearly. We think we do. And we get used to it. And as you get older, your eyesight starts to be stretched until you put on a pair of glasses and then you go, wow, I can really see. But I think what happens to us when we're born and there's things that imprint on our lives is that what happens is our glasses get smudged, right? They get, stuff happens to them. They get, this is the lens we look at with life. They get stuff put on them. They get mucked up, right? Stand by. You'll get what I mean. I think things get blurred. And I think we get, right? You have bad experiences with authority figures. You hit hard circumstances in life. And what becomes my reality now is this. That becomes my reality. And that's how I see life. That's what I'm looking through. But here's the thing. This becomes my normal. And I view God through this lens. I view life through this lens. I view other people through this lens. I view my faith through this lens. My sexuality through this lens. I view everything through these things that have come, the scratches and the smudges and the blockages. And we have blind spots that we don't see. And I think every human being, this is how this world functions. We are all wearing a set of glasses that are like this. That we can't really see what's real, what real reality is. That's what this world is like. But then there was a day when things began to change. You know when that day was? That day was when an angel, his name was Gabriel, appeared to a young teenage girl. Scholars say she was probably 13, 14, 15. Name was Mary. And basically the message was, you're going to have a baby. And I like how Luke records that she was disturbed and confused by the message, because I would have thought Mary first would have been disturbed and confused that there's an angel. But the message superseded that. And with that, Gabriel then said to her these words, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. That is Luke's first mention of Jesus. And when he quotes Gabriel there, Gabriel's message to Mary was profound and it was earth-shattering because it laid out what was taking place and why everything began to change. And here's what Gabriel's message said. Because Gabriel's message has been condensed and softened so that we put it on Christmas cards at Christmas time, right? We have it in our Advent readings. We hear it, but we don't really hear it. Here's some things his message really point out very crystal clear. One, Gabriel was talking about a very specific person being born at a very specific place to very specific parents. There was a person, Jesus of Nazareth, heads up, very real person. No ambiguity there. Second of all, this wasn't a prophet. This wasn't a teacher or a pastor coming. This was, because he uses the word reign. And that word reigns, therefore, is a hint that we're speaking of someone who is of royalty and also someone who is going to be ruling. And thirdly, it speaks of the duration of this rule, this kingdom. And it speaks of the duration of the reign. And Gabriel says his kingdom will never end. Ever. Ever. And here's the thing. Well, I'll get into that later. This thing I want to just say. Push that just on pause for right now. So that's Gabriel's message. But then when Jesus started his ministry at age 30, basically he began to present his platform, what we would call the platform of the kingdom, what I would call the platform of the kingdom. And you know what I'm talking about. You hear people who are running for leadership of various nations, and they have a platform that they are presenting. And the thing with Jesus' platform is that it is contrary to every ruling system in this world. His platform does not line up with the liberals or the Conservative Party or the New Democratic Party or the Republicans or any other party that's out there. It is contrary. It runs totally different, totally different than anything else. And we get a glimpse from Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 4. And here the story goes in Luke 4 that Jesus and his disciples are returning to his hometown of Nazareth. And on a Sabbath, he goes to synagogue, which is what Jewish people would do on a Saturday. And he goes to synagogue, and because he's recognized as being a rabbi, because he does have followers, he's handed a scroll. He's allowed to give the reading for that day, and he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. And he takes that, and he finds a specific passage, and then he begins to read. And this is what Jesus reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And it's not how he was saying that or what he was saying that was impactful. It's because they would have heard this before. They would have heard the readings before, just like we hear the readings. It's what he said afterwards that sort of drilled at home. And then Luke records he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. That is hit right between the eyes. That is, he's laid out what his platform is. He's laid out what the kingdom is about. And this is where, for the church globally, we need to again revisit this and sit up and take notice of what Jesus is actually saying about the kingdom. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, then you're a citizen of the kingdom. You're part of you belong to the kingdom. And if you belong to the kingdom, it's totally different than what you're used to here in Canada or any other nation in this world. It operates differently. It views differently. It does not, we don't look at life through these glasses. We look at it with a whole new set of glasses, a whole new lens. And it's reality. It's very much reality. And from Jesus' statement there in the going back here, when he read from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, this is what we can deduce from as far as what the kingdom is about. And the kingdom is, it is the good news. And the good news is that there's a Messiah for every human being on this planet. That's the good news. Because when Jesus came, it went beyond the people of Israel. It went to all over the place. And all you have to do, if you have your Bibles, is you just go to Luke 4, to this passage, and just read a little further down some other words that Jesus has to say. And he gives an indication that God's intention is for the good news to be for everybody. 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 But it's the good news. His kingdom is freedom. And I'm looking at the opposite of what the words are from Isaiah, because it talks about captivity, but that he's releasing us from captivity, but it speaks of that the kingdom is freedom, real freedom. It's his kingdom is wholeness. When he speaks of blind eyes will see, there's an indication there that, you know, our diseases we suffer from, be it physical or mental or emotional or whatever, that is not existent in his kingdom. His kingdom is for wholeness. And that also his kingdom is about the up. Now, Isaiah uses the word to release us from oppression or from the oppressor, right? The opposite of oppression. Do you know what the opposite of oppression is? The opposite of oppression is encouragement. It's comfort. Seriously, this is the opposite of it. It's delight. It's release. That's the opposite. It's uplifting. Now, here's a little sidebar note that I found very interesting, and this is just something that popped into my head when I read that the opposite of oppression is encouragement and strength. And here's the interesting thing. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And he refers to the gift of prophecy. And Paul uses the words that he says, but the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. And what hit me was Paul was drawing right back to Jesus' statement of Isaiah of what the kingdom is about. And prophetic words, any words that are given, they must be tethered to Isaiah 61. They have to be tethered to that, where people are released. It has to be words of release, words of strengthening, of comfort, of encouragement. And I went, aha, that's why Paul said what he said. Because Paul's going back, launches everything, all of his teachings, all of his writings from that foundation. And I find that fascinating. I find it absolutely fascinating. Anyway, that's a little sidebar. His kingdom is also where you'll find the favor of God, which is beautiful. But that was Jesus' platform. And Jesus expressed this not only by reading from scripture and teaching, but he showed us. He showed people what the power of the kingdom looked like. And you see it, as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Acts, you read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the early church history, as you read it, what do you see? You see the power of the kingdom breaking in. Jesus comes and he heals people of whatever the diseases, whatever were the prevailing diseases of that day. And he touches people and people are made whole again, not physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's this thing that the reality of the kingdom is real. It's here. It's really here. That's the reality he calls the church to live in. Here's the thing, too. Now, if you track through the Gospels, how things unfold. One, Jesus did the words and the works of God, of the kingdom. By what power? Power of the Spirit, right? Power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he operated in. When he ascended, before he ascended, he was resurrected, hadn't ascended yet. He has his disciples together, and he says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Same way. That's John 20, I believe, John 20. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then you go to Acts, and Jesus tells what does he tell his disciples or the people in the upper room? I want you to wait until what? What do you have to receive yet? Until you're empowered by the Spirit, until the power comes. And then I want you to go. That should be an indication how he expects the church to operate, how the lens he wants people to operate in. And then you read Acts 2, and what happens? The Holy Spirit is sent. Church is baptized by the power of the Spirit. And that's how the church is to operate. In that, the church has been empowered. That's how the church is an empowered movement. Doesn't matter what denomination tag you want to put on it, the church that Jesus has birthed, that Jesus has brought, is an empowered movement. That's what it's about. You read it, and that's what you get. Hence. Remember Gabriel's words? And here's the thing, you know, we put so much emphasis in other people's words. But you'd think you'd put a lot of credibility to an angel's words, right? Like there's a direct messenger coming to you. Like there's no, you know, telephone tag that's going on here. It's just God to Gabriel, boom. And Gabriel said, his rule and the reign of God, how long does it last for? Ever. So if the rule and reign lasts forever, does the power stop? The power of the kingdom doesn't stop. There's nothing in Scripture to indicate that we should not expect to see in breaking of the kingdom. Now the kingdom isn't fully here yet. And we'll talk more about that over the coming weeks as far as what the phrase that has been coined as the already of the kingdom, but not yet fully. And that's something for you to work through, to work this out. To read the Gospels, see how Jesus is talking, see where he's leading in that. Now here's the thing, I just want to make a mention. I have been a little taken aback by the responses of the church to the goings-on that have taken place in the U.S. over the past year and a half. And they have a new president-elect coming. And what I've been taken aback by is the tone of articles and the words of people who claim to be born again or spirit-filled or people of the word, or all that, and the emphasis and the talk of the president that is coming as being the hope for the U.S. I don't get it because, first of all, Jesus is our king. If, as far as the church goes, Jesus is the king. He's our leader. He's where we take our platform from. He's where we view life, because this is reality. This is what it's about. And furthermore, why would we put our hope in someone whose term in office is going to be, well, in Canada, it could be, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, right? Or down in the U.S., what, 4 years, 8 years max? That's it? I don't know of a leader in world history that has been the hope. I don't know one. And our, as far as a church, our rule, our ruler, our king is Jesus. And his mandate, rescue people, set people free, break oppression, right? To bring healing, to bring hope. And here's the thing. And you said it, Phil. We look for God to do the stuff, right? But he's doing the stuff through us, through you, through me, right? That's how it gets done. That's the reality. That's the reality of the kingdom. That's how the power of the kingdom is. It should be breaking through us, not just in just nice casual deeds that we do, but also in eyes of the kingdom. Expecting the power to break through, praying for healing, praying for deliverance, looking for it. Because every time it breaks through, every time, it's a taste of what is going to be fully coming. It's a taste of eternity. It's a taste of the kingdom. And we bring the kingdom. We bring change into this world. Bring hope. It's what we do. It's what we do. I say that's the church we need to be. Like, can we do anything? Do we have any reason to do anything less? Seriously. Like, if we take Scripture at its face value, if we take the gospel at face value, can we do anything less? Like, seriously? Can we? Well, you can, but then you're like a disempowered church. We can't be that. We can't. It's either real or it's not real. And if it's not, well, let's toss it. But if it is, now, to put our feet to the fire, because see, we can talk, right? But then you got to do it, right? You got to do it. That's with anything in life, right? You can talk about it, but then you got to sign up and do it, right? That's with anything. So this is the challenge I'd like us to make right here. Call it challenge 17. You can call it challenge whatever. One story every week that we need to be hearing. A kingdom story. This is Chris's fault too, because he dropped that seed when we were chatting this week. Sort of that seed, so I just took it. But one story every week we want to hear. And I just, you know, some guidance here needs to be recent. So it can't be a story you tell that happened 10 years ago. I remember back in the good old days when. No, these are good old days right here. These are the good old days. We won't dress it up, right? Make it real. And it's not about success or fail. It's about the fact that we are choosing to view life through the lens of the kingdom. Because that is reality. That's clear lens. That's what real life is all about. Not this. Not what we see with blurred lenses and that. 2-3 minutes, you know. Story. From us. That includes all of us. Yeah. However that looks. You look like you're itching to say something. Oh, no? Okay. Okay, I just didn't know. Okay. Because I think we want to be transformed into kingdom-minded people, don't we? See, I knew you did. I knew. Yes, you were. Yeah.
I was standing. Yeah, anyway. Liv has a flat tire, we think. So that was why I was standing there in the event that. Anyways, we're back and forth. No, what I wanted to say was about this kingdom of God business that we're talking about. It seems to me, having walked in this particular. I mean, I became a believer in the Vineyard, this church, 27 years or something ago, whatever, a long time ago. And it seems to me that it's the first thing that we fall asleep to. We continue to believe. We continue to proclaim the gospel. We continue to lean into God and to pray through the tough stuff and to be a community as best we can. We pass, we fail on that. We've got our great moments and our lousy moments as a people. But it seems like we have these moments where we wake up and it feels like there's an alarm clock. And we hear the alarm and we wake up and there's a moment, and this is over 27 years, I can say, there's a moment where, bing, we wake up and then it's like we can hit the snooze button. And I've seen that in the 6 years or so that I've been on staff. I've seen that continually where it's like we hear the alarm. And you guys can remember the moments that I'm talking about. We hear the alarm and there's like, oh yeah, it's time to get up. And then like somehow the snooze button gets hit. Right? And we need to, like, it's real. We don't just subscribe to some other form, like we don't have just like an other way of looking at the world. And so we believe things differently than our neighbor across the way. That's not the way this is. This isn't just a different, it is a different worldview, but it's not just a different worldview. There's a reality of the kingdom of God that's full of power. But by the way, I'm totally owning it, sleepy. Hitting the snooze button. So let's commit to, for the next little bit with this, let's commit to not hit the snooze button on this thing. Let's commit to do the hard work of getting up, and even though it feels like it's 4:30 in the morning. It's hard to get up at 4:30 in the morning to do something boring. It's easy to get up at 4:30 in the morning if you know you're going on a trip somewhere. It's a totally different expectation. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us as a community, as a people, the anticipation of what it means to have, when that alarm bell goes off, when we hear that inbreaking thing that says that there's power in this moment for your kingdom to transform a life, or whatever, we can hardly even begin to imagine what you're capable of doing in any moment. Lord, that we would be people who would respond to that with the excitement of someone who recognizes that there is a journey that we get to respond to right now. That's why we're not hitting snooze. That's why we're getting up. So Lord, wake us up, we pray. We are a kingdom people. It is who you've called us to be. It's language that you've given us right from the outset of this movement, right from the outset of this community. Lord, we follow you. We know that you are our king. And we know that you've given us some authority as your people. God, forgive us if we've ever abused that. Forgive us if we've ever worshipped that authority. Forgive us if we've ever gotten strapped out on the power. But God, let us not forget that it's real, we ask. And Father, we want to see you move this week. Sure, Laura.
Hello. So for the past, since June, I guess, in Preston, we've been doing a sandwich giveaway on Mondays. There's been a few people that have helped, but the diehards have been Lori Little and Patrick and myself, and Brian shows up when he can, and a few other people have helped as well. It's been really, really slow. We've had, you know, some people that show up and they never come again, and but we felt for a long time we were supposed to do something in Preston, and we really wanted to develop a sense of community there. So we've been doing it every week since June, and what we have noticed is that we've had people that have started to come, and they don't just come and grab a sandwich, but they come and then they stay for a little bit and they chat for a bit, and they've been saying, you know, staying longer and longer. So that's been really neat. We didn't do the one day on Boxing Day. That was the only Monday in the last number of months that we haven't done. And when we showed up this past week, both Lori and I were like, it's going to rain, it's cold, it's like do you really want to go out there and do this? Because it's just, it's not very pleasant to be standing outside in the cold. But we pulled up out front, there's a woman that's been coming, and she hadn't been there the 2 weeks before Christmas, so we weren't able to tell her that we weren't going to be there on the 26th. And we opened up the car door, and she says, "You guys are in trouble." And we're like, "Why?" And she says, "I was waiting for you here last week, and you didn't show up," which was really, really cool. But the thing that I really wanted to tell you was that there was a man that lives at the Hopper, and he's been coming regularly. And he would come down, he'd say hello, he'd stay there for a minute, get a sandwich, and he'd head on back. And then he's been staying longer. He's been telling us about his family. He's been telling us about his life. We've been sharing stories ourselves with him. And I said to him, "So it's 2017. What do you think that's going to hold? What's going to happen this year?" And he just said, "More of this, like more of us here in community," basically is what he meant. Having sandwiches, eating together, and just meeting and chatting. And he said it's a highlight for him because he doesn't have internet or TV or, you know, or anything. Like he just stays in his room and that's all he does. So it was pretty meaningful to us. It felt like, wow, something is really happening. We really are doing something. So I just wanted to share that to start us off.
Can you stay up and just call for ministry? Okay. So, you know, we do ministry. Why do we do ministry? Because we're people of the kingdom, that's why. And if we believe it, we practice it. And by that, I mean practice. Practice praying for one another. Practice, you know, I'm suffering with this or need prayer for this. And have others pray for us. Why have others pray? Can I just pray? Yeah, I can. But by involving others, I let them pray for me as well and practice. But also, we expect during that time for God to move. And then what we see here, we can do out there. We can do it. You can do it in your workplace, if you know, quietly, if depending on what your work situation is like. You do it at home. Do it in your neighborhood. Do it at the sports center. You know, at the gym, or you know, wherever you encounter people, and always listening with that ear to the ground of, is the Lord nudging you? Is he nudging? Is he nudging? And then just take the risk. You just take the risk and do it. You just take the risk. Otherwise, you just play safe and you stay in your little bubble. Right? But we're people of expectation. We're the people of the kingdom. We serve the king. We serve the king. So, Laura, if you want to just call, if you just want to, I don't know if you have a word for ministry or no? Yeah.
Yeah, ministry team can come up and I... Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, it is a new year, and I think it's a new start. It's always a new start. And I would ask that you would be praying as to what God wants you to do and how he wants you to step out into his kingdom, because it's not just for a few, it's for all of us. We're all a part of that.
And so we're just going to close off now, okay, so that if you need to go, you can go without feeling like you're, you know, stepping out in the middle. But we're gonna continue with ministry time. If you have conversations you want to have, chit-chat, we have the lobby out there. You can chat there. We just want to continue to have this to be just a place of, you know, being able to receive ministry. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you're moving in lives. We thank you for that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us as we make our plans. We trust you, Father. And, Lord, we look for your kingdom. We know your kingdom is a reality today, right now. So, Father, we just say, come.